From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Genesis chapter 40, we'll begin reading verse 13. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Joseph is speaking. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, for I indeed was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now look at what it says in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Now, as we go through the life of Joseph, I have not taken the time that I normally take to introduce the context or the chapter, because most of you are very familiar with the life of Joseph, the story of Joseph, and the situations that he encountered. But here we see Joseph in prison. Two of the men that he is supposed to be helping have dreams. They're troubled by their dreams. They worked in the palace. One was a baker. One was a butler. And Joseph tells them the meaning of their dreams. The butler would be restored to his position there in the palace, and the baker would be killed. But when Joseph reveals the meaning of the dream to the butler and tells him, you'll be back in the palace before too long, and when you get back, would you please mention my name to Pharaoh and possibly help me to be released? But seemingly, as all of Joseph's life had gone for the previous 10 years, the butler did not remember his promise. I believe he had good intentions. But just getting out, enjoying the things he was enjoying, he forgot Joseph. And there Joseph sat in prison. And Joseph, we find him in these circumstances, was serving and helping and doing what he was supposed to do despite the disappointments of life. But I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject of being forgotten. Joseph, the forgotten man. Now, all of us in life have just enough selfishness in our character, in our fabric, and in our fiber to feel at times in life like we've been forgotten. It's amazing, although your parents celebrated your birthday, maybe there was too great of a celebration, and so you got accustomed to all that, and then if your spouse doesn't celebrate it on the same level, you feel forgotten. It's amazing how at Christmas or during a certain holiday, we just feel like we're forgotten. It's amazing if we get sick and it's more than a day at a time, if we don't get a text or a phone call, if we miss a church service and no one lets us know that we were missed, we feel forgotten. That's just in our nature. And man is on this endless quest to feel appreciated and loved. Now, men and women are different. Women have this innate need to feel loved. Men have a tremendous need to feel appreciated. No matter who you are, at some point, repeatedly in the course of your life, you're going to feel undervalued, underappreciated, or these feelings that I'm just not loved the way I should be loved. That's why Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter and social media has had such great success, because those people that put those programs together studied human nature and said there's just an adrenaline rush that comes with that little thumbs up sign. And when you get liked or you push a little button and someone says your text was loved or your Twitter was liked, and YouTube. Now just get the meaning of all of this. YouTube. You. This is about you. Someone I don't even know gave me the thumbs up. Someone I've never seen and will never see told me they liked me. My words of wisdom that I stole from an encyclopedia. Pasted them on my Facebook. I posted it. I pasted and posted it. And now I'm liked. Yesterday, I heard someone on the radio. Now, this is how foolish we've become. He was pleading the audience for a thumbs up. He said, our website now is 168 likes short of 17,000. Please help us push it over the top. You're begging your audience to give you the thumb. For what? For a temporary adrenaline rush, and then tomorrow you'll be looking for 18,000. That's how silly we've become. And here sits Joseph, truly forgotten by his brethren, not his father, but his brethren, forgotten now by the majority of the people on the planet. And instead of being angry and bitter and upset, dejected and despondent, he was determined to live the way he's supposed to live, saying, God's not forgotten me. And here he is, still has his heart for God, still has his heart for people, and he's serving them. He's ministering to these men in prison. They actually belong there. He does not. I want you to notice a couple things before we get to the heart of the message. Number one, Joseph was faithful in his daily mundane duties. Just faithful. God give us a man to just be faithful. Well, no one notices. That's typical. That's life. That doesn't matter. Why do we seek our value based on what other people think or what other people notice? You're going to allow your value to be placed in the hands of a stranger? Joseph said, I won't do that. I'm just going to be faithful. Look what it says in chapter 39, verse 22. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Why would he do that? Because Joseph was just faithful day after day in the mundane task. God, give us some men that'll just be faithful every day to do exactly what they're supposed to do. Not looking for a superstar or sports star or movie star status, but saying as a father, as a husband, as a ministry leader, as a worker, as a janitor, no matter what I do, I'm going to be faithful in the mundane tasks of life. That was Joseph. Now, circle this next phrase. I love this. He, Joseph, was the doer of it. Why do you need a thumbs up? I would seek this rather than all the accolades that some other man might give. Just be the doer of it. Joseph, I'm in prison. I'm just going to be the doer of it. It doesn't change anything because my circumstances changed. It doesn't change because I went from Potiphar's house in a position as a slave now to a prison. I'm going to remain faithful in the mundane tasks of life. And too often, because it's mundane and no one notices, and we feel like we're ignored by the rest of the world, no praise, no recognition, no thanks, no pat on the back, that it doesn't matter. It does matter. And look what it says there in the prison, verse 3. And he put them in a ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison. The place where Joseph was, what? He was bound. Now, not only was he in a prison, but he was bound. We'll mention that again in just a minute. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Now look what the next few words say. And he served them. He was serving prisoners, criminals. That's not easy. You're bound. How easy is it to serve when you're bound? Not easy. You know, we just think because he was given a position in the prison that suddenly had this nice clean bed, nice clean sheets, and nice food that was prepared specifically for him. And he went around unfettered in his job, in this position. Nothing could be further from the truth. Say it wasn't easy. Well, actually, there's no position in life that's easy. Satan gets us deceived by looking around and making comparisons and thinking that that person has life much easier. No, they come in just like you come into church with a smile on their face, but they're not going to tell you about all the burdens that they carry and all the problems that they have and the situation that they're dealing with. They've just learned, like you, when they walk through the church doors, to pretend like life is rosy. It's not easy. It was filthy. This place was filled with the rot of the earth. He was fettered. Look what it says in Psalms 105. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. Speaking of Joseph, God sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And in those circumstances, he was serving. in the prison. I like the way one man put it. Wherever you are, be all there. Most people never even learn that basic truth. Wherever you are today, wherever you are in your job, wherever you are at the company, wherever you are at your house, whatever position or responsibility that God has given you, be all there. Most are absent. The problem is we don't understand the dignity of our job is not in our work, gentlemen, but who we serve. And ultimately, we serve God. Number two, we see Joseph was concerned about the sadness and the suffering of others. We know in verse 5 that these two men dreamed a dream. They were looking for a solution. Verse 6, Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Verse 7, last phrase, Joseph asked, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Now, Joseph, despite his problems, was still reaching out and still serving those around. Now, let me just make mention of this. Joseph was not your common, ordinary, curious snoop. We don't need any more of those. Not helping people, but just curious. You know what the best thing you can do if you're just a snoop? Stop asking questions. Don't even ask. It's not that you want to help. You just want to find out the details and pass them along. On Facebook. So what are you dealing with? What prayer request do you have for me today? I need to post that. Got a friend that I can text. No, Joseph was not a snoop. He was actually looking for ways to help and ways to serve. Isn't it amazing? We get so caught up in our own selfish world that we stop even thinking about a world out there that needs help and that has problems. We get consumed with our own problems. And here's Joseph in fetters, and he notices two people are sad. Well, guess what, Joseph? People in prison are sad. They're probably not very happy about their circumstances. But he goes, he says, I notice a little extraordinary sadness in their faces, and he says, why do you look so sadly? Now, most of us in the Baptist church know that normally that's not a good question to ask, because you might as well park for a while. Someone's going to tell you about their knee and their kidney and the kids and the school and the neighbor and the neighborhood cat. And by the time they finish, your eyes have rolled back in your head three or four times. Because you weren't actually hoping to know. You were just hoping they'd say, fine. And then you could move on to the next person like you really cared. I don't really want to know because I don't really care that much. Because if I cared that much, I'd have to do something for you. So please keep it to a fine. But that's not why Joseph was asking. He cared. He sincerely cared about them. He sincerely was trying to help them. And thank God for someone in prison that's not wandering around the prison saying, I've been forgotten, dejected, and depressed. He's saying, you know what? God has placed me here, and I'll find someone else to help that truly feels forgotten. He wasn't living as a victim. He was someone that had the right to, or he could have. You know what the world says about people like this? They say, oh, this kind of person will be a victim forever. We'll just put them in counseling. And to realize they'll never be better, they'll just suffer all the abuses that they've lived their entire life. Not so. God gives solution. There is a God in heaven that has a solution for every situation, every man. Joseph was ministering because spiritual men do not sulk. They do not pout. They get up, they move past their own selfishness, and they begin to minister. It'd be good, man, if you'd minister in your own homes. Minister to the wife that God gave you. Minister to the children that God gave you. Minister to the people around you. That's really what God wants you to do. Number three, he remained confident in God, never losing his faith despite the circumstance. Look what it says, verse 8. Now, Joseph had already basically been living as a slave or a prisoner for around 10 years. Verse 8, he says unto them, we have dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Never lost faith in God. How many I've seen face their first bout of adversity and begin to lose faith, begin to lose confidence? Aren't you glad that there is a God in heaven, a sovereign God controlling the affairs of men? He could take any bad and make it into good, and Joseph had not lost sight of that fact. Now, this is the introduction, so we must hurry. Some of you are already looking like you can't take much more introduction. Number four, Joseph was faithful to believe and teach and preach God's word. Now look at this. This is interesting because with the butler, it would have been easy to say, hey, listen, I know what the meaning of your dream is. You're going to be restored to your position. You're going to go back to the palace. You're going to be with the king once again, living the big life. You're going to be big T, big time once again real soon. But then when he heard the baker and listened to his dream, God revealed it to him. And look what Joseph says to him in verse 18. Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. Three baskets or 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Wouldn't you like to be there in that spot, right? Yeah. So the butler's all excited. He's like, thank you for the good news. He's giving Joseph the hug. Now Joseph said, go ahead and tell me, Mr. Baker, your dream. And he tells him about the 3 days and the birds and eating for the basket on top of his head. And Joseph said, that represents the birds eating your brains out because you're going to hang and you're done. You're over. And the baker's like, hey, could we not have just said good morning and started this off in a more civil conversation? Did you know, as God's servants, we don't get to write the mail. We just get to deliver the mail. We're the mailmen. We don't have a choice. We don't get to sort through the good and the bad. God's word comes with good news and bad news. And here's what we've done in this generation, this society. We're so fearful of men that we've trimmed the message to avoid any conflict. We don't want to be bearers of the bad news. We've taken hell out of the gospel because that's too offensive. We've taken condemnation out of the gospel. And pastors now avoid certain subjects. They're so deep in debt, the facilities are so beautiful, the payments are so high, and the crowds have to be kept, so especially those that are big givers and have big money in their pockets, we got to keep them satisfied, because any offense will mean we can't pay the bills. So the message has been trimmed. Joseph, after all these years, was not going to trim the message. He says, guess what? 3 days. You're going to be hanging from a tree. Sorry, but that's the truth. Thank God for a man that was just faithful with the message, to deliver the message, despite the fact it wasn't going to be greatly liked. But here's what Joseph does. He's hurting. He's not bitter. He's not frustrated. But we do understand, under these circumstances, 10 years of suffering, he's hoping to get out. Now, here's what you don't have to do in life, Christian. Just because we need to be content with our circumstances, it does not mean that we sit back and say, okay, I'm accepting that the rest of my life is going to be this right here. Saying, God, there are certain things that I can't change, but I'm certainly going to pray that you intervene and do something on my behalf. And God had that in mind. So here's what he says in verse 14. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, show me favor. Throw me a biscuit, please, when you get out. Talk to Pharaoh, mention my name, and bring me out of this house if you can. The only problem, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but for 2 long years. Now, we would think that Joseph's been in prison now for at least 5 or 6 years, and he's hoping against hope, surely. Now that he's out, he's going to remember, mention my name to Pharaoh. But he did not. Now, let me explain to you what forgotten means. To feel like you are forgotten means no gratitude has been expressed. No reward has been offered. No benefit has been received. No praise has been rendered. Anybody here ever been in that spot? Just put your hands up. Don't put on your spiritual innocent face. Say, oh, not me. Everybody pats me on the back. I get way too much praise. I don't even know where to file all the thank you cards that I've received. I can't deal with the text. My phone just dings and dings and dings with people thanking me for the good person that I am. No, most of the time we serve, we help, we sacrifice, and we wait. Sometimes we say, I would just like a simple thank you. Just didn't even have to be thank you for, just thanks. That's it. THANKS. They can't type that on their cell phone? My husband can't even walk through the door and just say, thanks. No, it's like, what's this? What's that? Dinner ready? So one day I was just like, thanks. It didn't even have to be thanks beautiful or thanks babe or thanks for the food. I'm looking for one word, thanks. And if that doesn't happen, we feel shortchanged. And shortchanged doesn't feel good. Let's just be honest, we have feelings. I'm a man of steel. No, you still like a thank you occasionally. Remember years ago, we were in Argentina, and in most of these foreign countries, no one has change for a $100 bill. And one morning, we literally didn't have a dime's worth of change, and I had to find some place. So I went to the grocery store, and I bought two items with a $100 bill because I wanted change. Well, I knew what I had. No confusion in my pocket or with what I was trying to get an exchange. And that lady behind the register gave me change for a 50. But when she did, she picked up the drawer, she put the $100 bill underneath, and then she gave me change for a 50. And I said, ma'am, I gave you a 100. She said, no, you didn't. I said, I did because I came in here to exchange that 100. You gave me change for a 50. She said, no. I said, yes, absolutely. You have one bill under that register, and that is my $100 bill. Would you pick that up? She said, no, I won't pick it up. I said, I'm not leaving. People are starting to back. I said, I'm not leaving here until you give me change for 100. She said, you gave me a 50. I said, call your manager. She said, I won't call my manager. I said, I'm not leaving here. She said, you have to leave here and come back at the end of the day when we check the register and see if there's any change. I said, I'm not moving right here. I'm not scandalous, but I'm about ready to become scandalous because I'm not leaving here shortchanged. She said, sir, would you please move? I said, no, I need a manager. Line 5. Finally, a man came over and said, sir, can I help you? I said, yes. This lady gave me change for a 50, and I gave her a $100 bill, and it's right there. You can have her pick up the register. I said, have her try to find a $50 bill because my $100 bill is sitting underneath that register. He said, well, we can check at the end. I said, we ain't checking nothing. We're staying right here. I'm not moving till I get my change. Finally, he picked up the register. Guess what he found underneath it? My $100 bill. Have you ever been someplace where you felt shortchanged and then you became scandalous? You ever been there in your marriage like, you shortchanged me and I need you to know and I ain't moving till you give me my other 50 bucks. I didn't leave in here. That was an honor. And I was nice to you and I was kind to you, so you can give me 50 back or we're going to fight it out. Now, it may be funny in a grocery store, but it's not funny in a marriage. It may be funny in a grocery store, but it's not funny in a class. It's not funny in a ministry. It's not funny in the rest of life because there are all times we have become scandalous and we've stomped our feet and said, I'm getting shortchanged. Does anyone notice? That's not what Joseph was doing. Joseph said, I may not have heard a thank you. I may not have received any accolades, but I'm still going to do the right thing. Maybe you feel forgotten because of age. How many of you recognize that if you're under 25, you don't get much recognition for what you do? Anybody here? We don't even care. You're here to be our servants. God did not give me 3 children, he gave me 3 slaves. That's the way children feel. Or if you're in a different category of life, if you're elderly, then you feel discarded. My time is past. I'm being replaced. I'm not being appreciated. Maybe you feel forgotten because of your position. I don't have a pulpit. I don't sit on the platform. I don't lead a choir. I'm not the ministry leader. I work with the children, but I'm like the assistant to the assistant to the assistant in the 3-year-old class. No one even knows I work back there. I'm not getting a thank you card. Pastor's handing out those awards and clocks and watches and cufflinks the other day. And you know what I get? People don't even know I'm in the meeting. I've served 18 years with those brats, and no one's paid attention to me. Isn't it funny how feeling forgotten changes even the posture? You feel forgotten, you can't even stand up straight. It affects the back, produces scoliosis. You say, Pastor, maybe I feel forgotten because of your location. Anyone ever feel like their location wasn't right? Kind of like your house. If you're in the right neighborhood, but oh, you live in Circle C? But if you live east side, you're like, where do you live? East side. Your lack of talent. You know, Pastor, I never get a saying. I have a voice. Hey, Robert, I have a voice too. It's not good enough. Have you ever felt like you just didn't have enough talent? I get around preachers, go to conferences. Pastor, why don't you go to more conferences? It's not fun to be the least talented person in the building. Anybody ever been there? Any of you ever played football, or hey, you were on a team? And when I played football, I played tailback, because every time I thought about going out on the field, the coach would say, get your tailback on the bench. It's a lonely feeling. You know, you want to be the star. Everybody wants to be the quarterback. People want to be the receiver. People want to make a touchdown, score a point or two occasionally. How many of you ever been picked last? And even then, it was with great regret. You know, you're just kind of standing there. You got a friend, you're like the friends picking teams. I know I'm coming sooner or later. And then they go through the whole lineup, and then they're like, you want him? Nah, go ahead. It's not a great feeling. And sometimes in life, simply because God didn't give us some kind of talent that anyone else will notice, we have special talent abilities. Now, you're not even going to believe this, but my wife and Brother Matt was at the camp. Thank God you're here this morning. He was at the camp. I used to hold camp with Matt every year in Mexico when we'd hold a special talent contest. And one day, a young man came up to us and said, I can whistle through my eye. I said, that's not even possible. Go sit down. He said, no, I'm serious. He said, I can only do it twice or I'll blow a blood vessel. I said, what? He said, I'm serious. I said, okay, show off. Bring me some duct tape. He came back with that. We duct taped his nose and his mouth. He whistled through his eye. Did you know that that's not going to give you any special position in life if you can whistle through your eye? You know what that's going to get you? People are just going to look at you and be like, you're a freak. I don't think God gave you that talent. I think something happened at birth. Forgotten men usually, they're not seeking a special position or perfect situation or a reward. But here's really the key. If you're in this spot, you've got to constantly check your motives and make sure this is about God. Because if it's not about God, you're going to be disappointed and frustrated. And sooner or later, you're going to quit doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, here's what God has done. He's allowed us to serve him through the least of these. I'm not going to take you to the New Testament because all of you know here the teaching. But every one of us have at an arm's reach one of those that would be classified as the least of these. And by serving them, we're serving him. And somehow before the scripture was ever written, Joseph realized that. And to believe that lie, that you are forgotten, that's a lie of the devil that's been told simply to discourage you. Now here's when we feel forgotten. Let me give you six times when we normally feel forgotten. Normally we feel forgotten when we're suffering. Now let me just define that, because suffering is not a common flu or cold, because some men in here, wives, don't say amen. I don't need you to get them upset in the morning service. But how many of you wives are thinking, my husband, when he's suffering through the common cold, he's laying in bed. He yells, hey, I need some aspirin. Why did you forget about me? Because you haven't been in there in 10 minutes. change his glass and get him some more yogurt and rub his feet and put an ice pack on his head because his fever's peaked out at 100 degrees. I'm not talking about that kind of suffering. I'm talking about real suffering. But in the midst of true suffering, we've all been there. We're not going to give anyone the microphone this morning, but everyone in here has a point, whether it was health or with a child or in their marriage or financial situation, whatever it was, you know, you can point back to a time in your life when you were suffering and you felt all alone. You thought, why is it that my own mother won't call? Why is it that my best friend hasn't noticed? I don't want to have to explain this to them. I just wish they would notice. You would think that they would know that this is overwhelming, so a simple conversation would be a blessing. Maybe a few flowers would be a help and encouragement. Why hasn't Pastor sent flowers yet? Why hasn't anyone visited? And in the midst of suffering, be careful, that's when Satan comes in and parks nearby and he'll tell you the same lie over and over. No one knows, no one cares, no one has noticed. And those feelings will lead you down a trail to despondency. Sometimes it's not just suffering. Sometimes when we're in the midst of great sacrifice, we start to feel forgotten. Have you ever made a great sacrifice for someone else to be a blessing? And it seemed to go unnoticed. I remember one of the most difficult times in our life. We were in Argentina on the mission field. We were broke. We were trying to buy a building, and we saw this miracle happen, and God showed up, and we paid for the building, and we bought it for $27,000, $30,000. God in all of that provided the funds. But what's so amazing about that money that came in, I didn't calculate it. It was the first time we'd made a purchase, and I hadn't calculated the paperwork and the lawyer's fees and everything else, and that was $6,000. Well, God miraculously provided the rest of the money, but he didn't provide the $6,000. Then I had to go take out a personal loan in my name to cover that $6,000, and the interest was about 18%, and I don't take out loans. I'm thinking, God, you couldn't have just provided that in the package? I'm already living broke. I don't have a car. We live almost 5 years without a vehicle. I'm walking everywhere. And now, on top of that financial situation, you're going to add a $6,000 loan that I'm not taking out for me, I'm not taking out for a vehicle, I'm taking out for the church. You know what? No one gave me a penny towards that. No one even noticed. My own father didn't even ask. Matt, who's been my best friend for years, never even made a phone call. It's not a root of bitterness. It's a simple observation. You know what happens in those times? When you're doing right and things seem to be going wrong, Satan comes by and says, you are forgotten. But it's a lie. God is not forgotten. But when you're suffering or when you're sacrificing, hold on for a second. We can literate this outline. When you're serving, you've been there. You're serving in the parking lot. Everyone else is having a party, eating fajitas, and you're in the parking lot. We got parking lot duty again. There are no bad guys that come in this evening. There's no one looking to stab anyone, shoot anyone, steal anything. And here I sit in the parking lot. And then when I come by, someone else drives by and says, hey, where's your suit? You would think that my wife would have brought me a piece of cake or at least a fajita plate. No? It's amazing the simple places in life where we find ourselves that Satan is convinced us that we're forgotten. You work in the prison ministry, you work in the nursery, you're sitting down there in the nursery. Oh, everyone else, especially in missions conference when you're back there 3 hours at a time. Like, I think I'm forgotten. Can Pastor at least walk by, poke his head in the door and say, hey, thank you, ladies. But no, straight to the food line. He didn't forget Dr. Trevor. Didn't forget Brother Brian Logan. Didn't forget his plate. But me, back here with these diapers and these demons, no one. No one's paid any attention. We get to that point in life and be careful, because normally it's those that are closest to us that we feel like they have forgotten us, undervalue us, underappreciate us. And you know, here's what's the craziest thing. Satan will most likely get you in your own home to feel forgotten by your own mate, by your own children, or by your own parents. And that's the liar that he is. Right in the midst of serving. What about right there in the midst of slipping? How many of you have ever slipped? How many of you ever noticed when you slip, no one else is there to catch you? Now, the other day we're in Huntsville. Brother Gene and I were standing there. This man came hurrying up the steps, and on his way up, he started to face plant. He tripped on the last step, and there was a big old boy. Now, when I say big old, I'm not exaggerating this. I'm talking 400 plus pounds. Big old boy walking the opposite way. And when that guy started to face plant, he reached down with one hand and caught him. I didn't know 400 pounds could move that quick. I said, wow. Most of the time when we slip, guess what? We were all alone. Sometimes we're thankful we were all alone because it's so embarrassing the way we slipped. But I don't tell me you've been a Christian long enough to say you've never slipped, but you felt like you were slipping. You just felt like, I'm going to go down, and why can't anyone else in the whole church or the whole world be here to help me or notice or catch me or reach out when I'm slipping? Now, we could talk all morning about the reality, but everyone in here has had moments, and usually it's not a moment or once a year. We're talking about it can be on a weekly basis. For some, it can be a daily basis or a monthly basis that we feel like this is a time in my life when I have been forgotten. Joseph has been living this way for 10 years, but he's not listening to the lies. Now, here's a message. Number one, God is paying close attention to every detail. He always does. He is aware of your situation. He knows, he sees, he cares. And God is there. Here's a problem. Too often we are looking for man's attention instead of God's attention. We're allowing man to give us our value instead of God to tell us our value. The problem is God's invisible and man's visible. We like the visible. We prefer the visible over the invisible. So I want some kind of visible help. And God says, I'm right here. I haven't moved. I haven't changed. I know what's going on. But you're saying, well, I wish my husband would join you. I wish someone else in the church would show up with you. Number two, it is hard to feel forgotten when you're close to God. Now, if you're not close to God, guess what you're going to feel? If he feels distant and the rest of the world is distant, you've got a problem. But God's close, and when you know you have his presence and his blessing, look what it says in chapter 39, verse 21. Very familiar text. In this situation, although falsely accused, now thrown in prison, what's the Bible say? Let's read it together out loud. But the Lord was with Joseph. Let's repeat that. The Lord was with and showed him mercy and gave him favor. Look what it says, verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Because, let's read it together, the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know why he didn't feel alone? Because when you get close to God, you feel his presence, you experience his blessing, you'll know maybe everyone else on the planet. Now, let me just say that's a lie anyways, because if you have any family, someone out there is going to remember you. Guess what? His brothers forgot about him, but his dad, the Bible says, cried every single day. There's someone crying over you. You may have walked out of their life. There is someone thinking about you. I promise you that. But Satan will come up and say, no one's thinking about you. Yeah, they are. Someone is. It may only be one person on the planet. They may have a low IQ. They may even be retarded, but there is someone out there saying about you. But more important than that is God has not forgotten you. Those of you that have lived long enough, you look back in your life and you remember times in your life where you felt forgotten. And now in hindsight, aren't you glad for hindsight? You say, oh, God was right there. I didn't realize it at the moment. I didn't even feel it at the moment. And here's Joseph. How in the world does he make it through this prison unspotted? How does he maintain his integrity? How does he resist temptation? How does he deal with all of this despondency? It's because he never sat there and said, I am forgotten, although he was by man. He was by the guy he helped. He was by the guy who promised him a favor. Your labor is not forgotten. Now, here's what we think. Well, my labor is forgotten on this earth. It'll be remembered in heaven, but da la 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 blah blah blah. Because I'm not in heaven yet. I would like something on earth. I would like an earthly reward. I like something visible. I like something here and now. You know what you're thinking? God, if you'd bless me with a bigger bank account, at least a nicer car, at least something that runs all the time that I don't have to worry about starting, something that doesn't leak oil and blow smoke. Everyone else is driving around their new vehicles, but look at mine, Lord. And then God says, you don't have their payments either, so be thankful. Your labor is not forgotten. Look what it says in chapter 41, verse 39. Now, can you imagine this day? So Joseph is sitting there, and suddenly the warden comes in and says, Joseph, you need to shower, this time with soap. No, not in the prison shower. That's not going to help. You got to look decent. Where am I going? Then they come in, not with the regular threads. No stripes on this outfit. And they give him a suit. They give him a tie. They give him cufflinks. They give him cologne. They bring in leather shoes. He stands in the mirror. Here's what girls do in a mirror. They're like, give me some paint. I got to cover this up. I have so many wrinkles. I got so many lines. Not guys. Waist size 42. Something really strange about all of that. Chapter 41, verse 39. So here comes the moment. Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. Can you imagine the most powerful man in all the world telling you these words? You're going to be over all my house because you are discreet. This was coming from the mouth of the most important and wealthy and powerful man on the planet. He said, thou art discreet. Verse 40, thou shalt be over my house. And the only one on the throne that'll be greater than you is me. That is incredible. Now look what it says in verse 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck. Pharaoh was from the hood, put a gold chain. Big time! That changed in an instant. Here's the good thing about a God that hasn't forgotten you. He can change your circumstance in an instant. When he's ready, hold on for a second. When he knows you're ready, here's what God did. Now, here's why God gave him this position. You know, the world will tell you, here's the path to success. But once Joseph got to the top, what's he going to tell his nephews and nieces and grandchildren? Yeah, Princeton, Harvard. So where'd you get educated? Prison. Where you been the past 10 years? Jail. Where'd you learn that lingo? Behind bars. God knows where he's taking you. He knows the lessons that you're going to have to learn along the way. And when you get there, whenever you get where God is trying to take you, there's going to be no doubt and no question who put you there and who deserves the glory. Look what it says in Psalms 105, and we're finished. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Circle the next word. What's it say? Until. There's an until in your book, your life story, what's taking place in your life. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And when God was done with his schooling of Joseph, look what the next verse says. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. When God is ready and He says you're ready, here's what you don't have to worry about. It may seem like the rest of the world's forgotten you, but God hasn't. But even if the world does forget you, does it really matter? Does it really matter? Because God hasn't. He knows what you need. He's going to take care of it. And if He's with you, you still got the blessing. So don't listen to the devil's lie and get depressed because you'll do something stupid if you're in the frame of mind that says, I've been forgotten and I'm tired of it.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.